Brooklyn's Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
This is Dave James reporting. I'm at the Elmbridge Fun Day, and it's a beautiful sunny day here in Brooklands. So to give you a flavour of this place, there's lots of fairground rides. There's live music going on in the background, a bit of announcements at the moment. There's a lot of fairground rides. I'm standing by a steam train roundabout for little ones, and there's one of these cages full of little plastic balls so kids can throw themselves around it. There's a sort of a Wurlitzer's, and then there's a candy shot shooting range. There's a climbing wall, and then there's loads of food stalls and all sorts of things, and people advertising, and there's lots going on here today. Let's see who we can talk to. I'm here with Flight Lieutenant Patrick Smith. Hi.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Now, this is the stand for the Royal Air Force Air Cadets, the next generation, and we've just been looking at a model of a Typhoon, which is an amazing-looking aircraft with just the one pilot and no co-pilot on this. And this particular model has a lot of bombs loaded.
This is a display model of the Royal Air Force's frontline fighter, the Eurofighter, the Typhoon, as people know it by, single-seater, full air-to-air and air-to-ground capability. So,
yeah, and what are you here doing today, just looking for new recruits?
We are. We're here recruiting, and we are the Royal Air Force Air Cadets, so the youth organisation for the Royal Air Force. We train youngsters in leadership and life skills, really, and get them ready to be successful in any ongoing careers.
And you're based in Brooklands?
We are. We're number 11 F Squadron, so we're one of the top founder squadrons in the country. We are based in Brooklands College, in the grounds there. We've been in Brooklands since 1938. We are, in fact, the oldest organisation and only original existing unit from pre-World War II still in Brooklands.
Wow. Are you a local lad at all?
I am. I was born in St. Peter's Hospital in Chertsey in 1982, and I've been here ever since, and I absolutely love it. So very proud of our heritage here.
And you love being part of the RAF, I guess.
I do, yeah. I'm very proud to be a commissioned officer, and also to be the commanding officer of 11 Squadron, as it's one of the oldest cadet squadrons in the country.
So how many cadets at the moment?
We have about 40 cadets on our books. They range from 12 and a half who are coming through as newbies all the way through to 20 years old who are established cadets and senior NCOs with many years' experience.
Now, I can see behind you there's a lot of pictures, some of the history of 11 Squadron, and a lot of black and white, as you say, it goes back a long way. But the more modern pictures, now, these are light aircraft. I assume this is how the air cadets learn.
They are, yep. Yeah. You have two or three different types of aircraft on this display here. You've got a two-seater Grob Tutor, which is the Royal Air Force's preliminary trainer. That's what they start out, so Prince William and Prince Harry would have learnt on that. All our cadets learn on it. Also used by the Air Force and the University Air Squadrons. We also have, just come out of service there, which is a two-seater motor glider, the Vigilant, and also, which we use for our gliding now, is a two-seater winch launch glider called the Viking.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, have a good day.
I'm here with David Seeger of British Organ Grinders Association with a beautiful model called Penelope, which you can hopefully just about hear over the background racket. Now, Penelope is a small street organ built by David and based on Topsy 3 designed by John Smith. So tell me, what got you into this game?
Well, I've always been interested in mechanical music, fairground organs, and I could never afford one.
So you built your own?
Well, that's it, yes. I came across John Smith's plans, and one thing led to another. Bought some plans off him, and this is the result.
Now, this is a beautiful wooden organ, and you've got a MIDI 3 interface on this?
Yes, it uses, rather than the traditional paper rolls or paper cards, this one runs off a little computer rather than your own Raspberry Pi. But the sound's all acoustic, but it's controlled electronically.
Oh, very good, very good. Now, this says 78 pipes. It says Borden 22 pipes, Celeste 22 pipes. What is that?
Well, that's the names of the different ranks of pipes, you know, in organ terminology.
Oh, right. So there are five ranks of pipes ending with bass pipes?
Yeah, so I mean, basically they're divided into different sections. You've got some, you know, 8 big bass pipes for the really low notes. The melody's the main section. You've got a 22-note melody, and that includes the celeste, where you play 2 pipes at once, and they're deliberately slightly out of tune because it gives a more distinctive sound. And then the glockenspiel comes in as well on the melody.
Glockenspiel, and also drum, wood, block and triangle. There's a lot involved in this beautiful Penelope.
Yeah, it's still not finished, actually. I'm still working on another rank of pipes, which brings it up to 100 in total.
Oh, wow. And obviously you love these organs, and you belong to an organisation of organ grinders?
Yes, there are a couple I'm involved with. There's a British Organ Grinders Association, which is for hand-turned organs primarily, like this one. I'm also associated with MOOSE, which is the Mechanical Organ Owner Society, which really relates to the bigger organs. But I sort of support them, although I don't actually own one.
Do you raise money for charity using Penelope?
Yes, generally speaking. I mean, this occasion it's in aid of the Shooting Star Chase Hospice, because that, you know, that's what this event's about today. But yes, I generally go for local charities. Do quite a lot of work with Brooklands Museum.
That's fabulous. And your wife looks as well, very well dressed up. It's a pleasure to meet you both. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Now I'm standing looking at a horse racing ride here, and there's lots of kids riding up and down on horses. Some are on the zebras, there's one I can see on a unicorn, I can see another little girl riding a tiger, little boy riding a giraffe. Do you think I've gone a bit mad? No, not quite. Now these animals are sort of about the same size as a rocking horse. Some are smaller, some are bigger, but they're not on rockers, they're actually on little wheels. And as the kids press up and down on the stirrups, it makes the animals go forward. So they are stuffed. Makes them go forward. So it is like riding, because it sort of creates a riding motion. And they can go slow or quicker. It's, you know, nothing goes really quickly, of course. It's all like half walking pace. But there's a lot of kids riding up and down here, having a lot of fun with these. Especially the one on a zebra here. He's having a lot of fun. I'm with Peter Adkins, and Peter is running this horse racing course. I say horses, I mean the zebra. There's all sorts of things here, isn't there? Hello, Peter.
Hello there.
Right, these look fabulous fun for the kids. I've not seen these before.
There's about 4 companies that hire these out in the UK. We went down through Pontins and found them. We were running our own disco at the time. And at 66, too old to be hanging around at 2 o'clock in the morning. So we saw these kids queuing up rather than being out on the beach. And they've been an instant hit, absolute instant, as you can see.
Yeah, you got more kids here than the rest of the place. And you're doing this for free today, which is fantastic.
No, we've been paid today. But we have.
It's free for the kids, but you're being paid. Yeah, my mistake.
It's by donation for the Shooting Star.
So by donation for the charity Shooting Star Chase, yeah. There's even a unicorn. I saw. Oh, there's a little boy and a unicorn as well. They're amazing. The way they move is very clever, isn't it? You press the stirrups up and down, and that sort of widens the legs, and then it... And then it goes forwards.
Purely mechanical. Very healthy. Not a battery or screen in sight. Parents love them.
So the harder the kid works, the faster it goes. But, they're still really slow, aren't they?
Yeah. They sleep well at night time.
It's a lovely idea and it's a lot of fun. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the day.
I'm standing with Nigel Coleman in front of the indoor botanist stall, and there's hundreds of plants inside glassware of all sorts of shapes and sizes. This is fascinating. I love the Star Wars one.
Yes, Tatooine it's called.
Oh, that's the whole planet Tatooine, of course.
Tatooine, yeah.
Inside a huge, very unusual shaped glass vase thing.
Yes, a hurricane is called the vessel.
A hurricane, right. And I can see a lighthouse, and there's undersea worlds, and there's all sorts of things here, isn't there? Do you build these yourself?
We create them ourselves. The leaded and framed cases, they're handmade. We buy them in from China. But all the designs that you see are all individually handmade, handcrafted. Nothing is ever duplicated. So every single design is unique.
And do people ask you for specific designs they want?
Yes, they do indeed, yeah. In fact, we've got a large one about 3 feet tall called the Crystal Palace, which we're just putting a completion to at the moment. So, yeah, we do get commissioned jobs quite frequently.
3 foot tall Crystal Palace, is that the Crystal Palace from North London?
Yes, it's modelled on the Crystal Palace, yeah.
Oh, the original one?
Yes, indeed, yeah. Yes.
And I can see Easter Island here as well.
Indeed. Ah, and one of them's fallen over. Yes.
Not supposed to fall over.
No, I'll take that.
Oriental collections, and there's a lot of unusual stones you have as well, such as these blue ones.
Yes, mirror glass crystal. We like to use as much colourful things as we can in the designs, create a feature so that it's not just the plant you look at, but the entire design. People like to have a feature, so we like to use crystals or Shiwan mudmen, which are handcrafted, genuine handcrafted mudmen, which is imported from the Shiwan area from China. Or I don't think we've got any of our miniatures here with us today, but we also use hand-painted miniatures, which are only 5 or 10 millimetres tall, and each one individually hand-painted, which we bring in from the United States.
Wow, they must be difficult to make. Now, the plants you're using, I assume these are specifically chosen so they don't need a lot of soil and don't need a lot of maintenance.
Well, yes, the certain plants that we use don't need any soil whatsoever. Air plants, genus Tillandsia. They obtain all of the moisture and nutrition they need through trisomes in the leaves. So all one needs to do is to drop the plant in a bowl of rainwater for about an hour once a fortnight, shake it off, let it dry, return it to the vessel, and it will thrive like that.
Wow.
We use cacti and succulents in some vessels, but air plants seem to be the popular thing at the moment.
So my succulent, that's sort of a lovely green plant I can see in front of me.
Yes. Right, we got it's ivy, but yes, succulents, succulent here with a cacti. So yes indeed.
And they must need different maintenance.
More or less the same. Obviously, you wouldn't want to remove them from the vessel. But yeah, watering once a week to once a fortnight, depending upon circumstances, level of humidity in the house, time of year, of course. But all of them that need very little input, very little maintenance whatsoever. The only exception would be the bonsai, which is in the middle there, that, in that piece which we call Glastonbury, which needs a little bit more water. But as for the rest of them, once a week to once a fortnight, tiny drop of water, and they're happy and they will thrive.
I see you've got a Tracy Island here as well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that it was a request. Somebody saw us do the Star Wars piece, and they asked whether it would be possible to do a Tracy Island piece, and happened to come across that rather interesting looking glass piece on my travels one day, and I knew exactly what it had to be used for because it looks very retro, very 60s.
Great. Well, that's The Indoor Botanist, a unique combination of art and nature, it says. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'm with Chris from Dogs Trust, and there's pictures of loads and loads of dogs. New sponsor dog coming soon. What's this all about, Chris?
It's a way of helping to raise funds for the charity. So what we're doing is our Sponsor a Dog campaign. And these little fellas here, these are the guys that we can't find homes for. So what we'd like to do is somebody to come along and help sponsor one of these dogs. If you do, they will send you a lovely signed photo and they will write to you 3 times a year. So these dogs are very clever like that. They send you a nice summer report, a Christmas card and a Valentine's card. They also make a good gift for, you know, if you've got little children or something, and it helps them to interact with the dogs.
But of course, you'd rather they get loving homes, I assume.
We do find loving homes for most of these dogs. Last year, we took in 15,000 dogs, and the good news is we have found homes for most of them. Unfortunately, there are a few guys that we won't be able to rehome, not because they're bad dogs, it's just because they've not had the best start in life.
Well, they're actually good-looking dogs, so... Yeah. 15,000 dogs you took in. What is it that makes these dogs end up on the streets the way they do?
All number of reasons. Sometimes it's because the dogs may have come from a family where there's been a bereavement and or people just can't look after the animals. Sometimes they're just abandoned or unwanted. It could be financial reasons. There's a whole number of reasons. So I don't know the full ins and outs of why we do get all these.
I guess a lot of them start up as very cute puppies and then they get bigger and need more looking after and so on.
That can be part of the reason. I'm sure some of you older folk out there will remember our A Dog is for Life, Not Just for Christmas campaign, and we still stick by that. Also, we never put a healthy dog down, so hence why we will look after these guys for the rest of their lives.
That's great. Now, looking at all these pictures here, these are from Ballymena, Manamena, Loughborough, Shrewsbury, Basildon, Liverpool. So I guess you have places all around the country?
Yeah, we've got 20 rehoming centres around the country, and as a local radio, our closest one round here would be in Newbury.
Great, thanks very much.
Thank you for your time.
This is Dave Demeter signing off after a fun time at the Elmbridge Fun Day.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.